Good evening, hello, and welcome to Grease the Wheels, the Automotive Technician Podcast. For all of you wrench twisting bastards out there in Grease the Wheels Nation, this is your Uncle Jimmy coming to you from the Rock and Roll Garage, trying to help you out, maybe entertain you a little bit, maybe tell you something you have never heard before, maybe things that you have heard before, maybe things that you don't want to hear now. I got just one of those podcasts on tap for you today. It's probably one of those things you don't really want to hear or don't give a fuck about. The subject today is job stories and how to write one. Now, I understand completely why you wouldn't want to write a job story. After all, you're not fucking Ernest Hemingway. You're not Stephen King. What the fuck do you care what a job story looks like? What do you care? You fixed a car? Now why do I got to write a job story? Why? Okay, well, probably for some of you, I would think many of you in independent shops and maybe some of you who are hourly, and maybe some of you who are salary, which I think is kind of actually few and far between, writing a job story is probably really not that important for you. But when I talk to you about flat rate technicians, which a very large portion of us are, and perhaps those of you who work in dealerships where you work on a manufacturer's brand of cars and they have factory warranties on them, then the job stories become very important. If you're, and I can attest to this, if you're a guy working at an independent shop and they just bring you shit and you tell them what's wrong with it and then somebody sells it and you bang it together and it works again and you drive it out the door and they come and get it, how important is a job story? I don't know, because it really depends on what kind of clerical people you have, what kind of a manager you have, what kind of a boss you have, and maybe one person is all of those things rolled into one. What do you write on the bill? What do you write on the invoice? Car needed water pump, installed water pump, car now works great without overheating, see ya. You know, it's like, okay, great. That's a job story, and it works perfectly because it just gets right to the meat and potatoes of what the fuck happened. It gets right to it. Hey, you came to us with a car that had a shit water pump in it, and now it doesn't have a shit water pump in it, it has a good one, and it's going to work again, and give us money, and you can have your keys, and you can get the fuck out of here, all right? So the job story is not that important to a lot of different people in a lot of different lines, a lot of different sort of genres of this particular occupation that I'm talking about here as an automotive technician or even a lot of other technicians. They're just not really all that necessary to be very succinct and factual or even to write a job story at all for certain repairs. You know, you go into somebody's house, you clean their furnace, you change the filters, boom, it says that on the invoice already. It's pre-billed. It may even be prepaid. Boom, you're in and out. You don't have to write shit. You know, it's just, hey, this is what we did, you know. Sometimes if you fix something, you kind of got to write down, hey, we changed the Garfunkel valve. We had to put some left-hand threaded fittings in where right-hand fittings were previously installed, and now it's going to work properly, you know, whatever. You're just writing down what you did, okay, and that's great. That's great, and it really, honest to God, should be the hallmark of any job story, correct? Am I correct? Yes, Uncle Jimmy, you are right. That's all that needs to happen. You just need to write down what you did, right? But, and everybody has a big but, Simone. Now, let me tell you this right now. And if you work at a manufacturer's brand dealership, you know, maybe you work as a Chevy tech or a Ford tech at a Ford dealer or Chevy dealer or Subaru technician at a Subaru dealer, your job stories have to be way more intricate. They have to be way more detailed if you want to earn all the money that's coming to you, okay? Let me explain to you what I'm talking about, okay? If you work in a manufacturer's brand dealer, we're just going to say dealer from now on. I'm not going to struggle with those words all in one sentence again. If you work at a dealer and you have a car that comes in and still has a warranty on it, be it a factory warranty or perhaps one of these warranties where they've said, everything's cool, it's a used car and we have certified that it's cool, which is kind of a bunch of horse shit and is the subject of another podcast that's coming down the pike. But you have a warranty on this car, whatever car it is you're working on. And say you have some sort of, let's just pick some sort of a failure, okay? Because I want to illustrate what I'm talking to you about. Let's say you have a bad engine computer. Okay, and this is actually a pretty good one. And I want to dive into what's going to happen. Here's what should happen, here's what's going to happen, and here is how it should be written up, okay? And we're talking about four different things here. Somebody comes in with a car, and it's just running like shit, and you go in with a tester, and the tester tells you to do all these different things, and being an average, I don't want to go into, you know, doing the job correctly or not doing the job correctly, or being a guy who mans the parts cannon or anything like that. I'm not going to go into that at all. We all have our own style. We all have our own skills. We all have our own tools. We all have our diagnostic routines, and some of them are, well, lacking. Let's just put it at that, okay? But we're not going to dive into that right now, okay? That's a subject for another podcast as well. But let's just say you go in and you diagnose quickly, okay? You just go in, you go, oh, yeah, I've seen this problem before. This car needs a DME. It needs an engine computer. You'll have to excuse me for using the jargon of the brand that I work for. DME stands for Digital Motor Electronics. In Germany, so a German brand that I work for, so it's called a DME, and pretty much everybody who works there knows that, but very few people, unless they're BMW geeks, don't know that, okay? So we'll say engine computer. Say you've gone in, you've run a fault check, you see specific faults that you've seen before because you have experience, and you know that the computer is bad. Okay, so you hump your ass over to the parts department, and you have them order you an engine computer for it, and you've only had the car in your bay for 10 minutes. You throw it outside because it's not going anywhere. Hopefully the customer's in a loaner or got an Uber or they're not fucking there anymore, because obviously a lot of dealerships and a lot of dealership parts departments are not going to stock engine computers. It's just not going to happen anymore, okay? They're very specific. Sometimes they have to be branded with the VIN number in it. You're just not going to see it. And even if you could see it, as a side note, as a kind of a fork in the road that I want to take down this little dead-end street before we get to what I'm talking about, is that some manufacturers want you to call them or email them or send them some sort of a case over the internet so that they can authorize you to replace that particular part. And then you have to prove to them that you did all the shit that you said that you're going to say that you did, but you didn't really do. You're going to have to kind of get them to agree that that's what's wrong with the car. And sometimes, I'm here to tell you, boys and girls, sometimes that is like jumping through flaming fucking hoops when you only have one leg. It's horrible. It makes me laugh because this happens so often, and it happens to every technician out there in the brand that I work for, is that you go and you have to make a case to get authorization to replace some fucking part, and they make you jump through these flaming fucking hoops. And what you've done is, if you have any kind of experience at all, is you've provided all of the information that they're going to ask you for before they ask you for it. You put it in the case. You type up a case and you put in there, I did this, 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 right? And they're going to come back with a response that says, oh, well, we want you to do this, do this, do this, do this. And you have to, you shake your head and you call them some kind of obnoxious name, you know, like motherfuckers or assholes or whatever. And then you have to write a response saying, if you had read my fucking story, you would see that I already did that shit. And then they'll come back, and if they want to be dicks, they'll ask, because sometimes, you know, they're human, sometimes they'll come back with, oh, well, we need you to do this, and we need you to do that, and you're like, oh, you cocksuckers, you're just fucking trying to give me the runaround. But most of the time, because they're trying to help you out, in a sincere manner, by the way, they'll just say, okay, look, if you have this value here, and you've checked this, and you got that value there, then you definitely need an engine computer. Go ahead and go ahead and order it up. But it's just, it's sometimes it's just an enormous amount of bullshit. And if any of you work for the same brand that I do, and you've had to make a case to get something repaired on a transmission, then I feel for you. And I'm not going to say another word. If you work for the brand that I work for and you've had to make a case for a transmission, you know exactly what the fuck I'm talking about. All right. Oh, man, I so don't look forward to those. All right, anyway, to get back to the subject. Okay, now you have gotten authorization to replace the engine computer. It's going to be covered under warranty, and the car is sitting outside, and the part comes in, you get the part in, you slap it in, and you might have to program it or code it or both, and then you have to kind of align it with some other shit, and there's a couple other procedures you have to do. And then you reset all of the fuel trim adaptations and everything else, and then you drive it around the block a couple times, and everything's good. And then you get done, and you put the car up to wash, and you think you're done with the car. You think you're done with it, but you're not. You're done with the car, yes, but in order to get paid, you need to actually become Ernest Hemingway or Stephen King or Tom Clancy. Because if you want to get paid the maximum amount of money possible for doing that repair, you have to learn how to write the script for an action movie. You have to write the ultimate action movie script for Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone and Bruce Willis all piled into one person. You need to write down that you did absolutely, and I'll tell you why. You need to write down absolutely every fucking thing you did. Even if you didn't do it, you need to write it down. You know, you need to go in and first off, the first thing that you need to know is the three C's. The three C's, and no, they're not cock, cunt, or whatever else is begins with the letter C. It's complaint, cause, and correction. Repeat after me, boys and girls. Complaint, cause, and correction. The three C's. Okay. And actually, it's almost like the old Soviet Union moniker, CCCP, because you get the complaint, the cause, and the correction, and you get paid. Okay. Seriously, when a car comes in and it's got some sort of a problem, the complaint is typically written by the service advisor. And this is, you know, we've talked a million times about how this sometimes goes awry, but we're just going to put down that the complaint is already right there. And it's written by somebody else. It somehow or another accurately describes what the fuck is wrong. It's actually the complaint, and it's not something that you get to make up, although in many cases you may have to modify it to fit your narrative. So the cause, okay, and this is where all the money is, the cause and the correction. This is where the money is. If you are working in a place where you have a manufacturer's warranty of some kind, whether it be new car warranty or a certified pre-owned type of a used car warranty, this is where your money gets made, okay? Because if you write down the causes, the engine computer sucks, and I replaced it, and now it works, you are going to lose out. You're just going to lose. Because you probably have somebody in your building whose job is to make your job story somewhat coherent if you can't, and then digitize it, okay? And I'll explain that in a minute, but I want to get back to the cause and correction, okay? If you put down the bare minimum under cause and you put the bare minimum down under correction, you're going to get paid the bare fucking minimum. But those of us who know, those of us who've been doing this for a while, know that the pen is mightier than the sword. And in this particular case, you will make more money with a pen than you can with anything else. And the pen is just a euphemism for typing a good job story. Okay. So your job story under cause should be confirm concern, something along the lines of, yes, it does this. Then you put down that you hooked up a battery charger, okay, because you don't really want to scan a car with your tester without having the proper voltage, okay? Because if you've been doing this for even just a little while, you know that having the wrong voltage in a car, I mean, you can go in with a tester and scan a car that's only got 10 fucking volts, but you're going to get so many fucking crazy-ass stupid faults that you're never going to be able to figure out what's wrong with it. So stabilize the voltage by hooking up a battery charger. Now hook up your tester and go in and run the test. And when you go in to write your job story, you have to write down confirm concern, connected battery charger, interrogated fault memory. That's what I always write. Some people hate that I use the word interrogate because it's got so many letters in it they can't figure out how to spell it themselves. But it's fine. You can put down scan fault memory, perform short test, whatever. There's a million things you can write. Now, in most situations, be it warranty at a Chevy dealer or warranty at a Subaru dealer or Toyota or Honda or anybody like that, Mercedes-Benz, they will pay you a very small amount of money to scan the car, to hook up a battery charger and scan the car. They'll pay you something like 2/10. Okay, great. It doesn't take 2/10. 2/10 in this particular case is 12 minutes. Does it take you 12 minutes to hook up a battery charger and start running a short test with your diagnostic tester? No, it should take you about 2 fucking minutes. If it takes you any longer than that, you might need to get the fuck out of the business. Okay, so you're going to get 2/10 for that. Now, you go in and you don't know what's wrong, okay? Now, you're writing a job story typically after you already know what's wrong. But you have to write the script for an action movie, and it has to be exciting, and it has to have twists and turns, and it has to have all kinds of mishaps and carnage. You have to detail all of it, all of it. You have to detail every single bit of it. Found numerous faults for the engine computer. Found faults for every function that the engine computer runs. Okay, what you've let them know is you found a fucking shitload of faults. Now you're going to go through and you are going to perform the short test that your diagnostic tester says to perform. As you go through this, and you might want to just kind of run through this in your mind real quick and maybe even make a little note of it. But if you have 10 faults and you do the test plan on all 10 faults and every fault has you check something different, even if you don't do it, you need to write down that you did it. You need to write down that you did it. And if you did it, more power to you. You probably correctly diagnosed the car. As someone who has been doing this for a while, I do some of the diagnosis when I feel like it's necessary. Other times I don't. When I get to certain conclusions, I know what's wrong with the car. I don't need to keep going. But I'm always going to write down, I'm always going to document that I did everything. Okay? So I go in and I get the 2/10 for hooking up the battery charger and scanning the car. And then I go in and I look at the faults and then I take the very first fault and I run the test plan and the test plan says to check the circuits. Boom, you have to go to whatever it is you are running time on, whether it's on a punch ticket or whether it's on a computer and an ERO system. You have to go in and stop running time and start running time again immediately as diagnostic time or work time, whatever you want to call it, work time. And what you should do, this is what I've done, this has helped me out immensely. What you should do is get a little timer. You could set a timer on your phone. You could just buy a little kitchen type of a timer, whatever. You run exactly an hour. Boom, you run an hour. Okay, because nobody anywhere in the world is going to give you a hard time for doing a wire test on a car. Say it's a wire from one module to the other, or if it's from an output or an input into a module, and they want you to just check the wiring, the circuits to see if they're good. They'll pay you an hour to do that, almost no matter what, without question. While you're running that time, you can actually go in and check whatever it is you need to check to see what's wrong with it. And maybe it only takes you 5 or 10 minutes. And then you're in the parts department ordering a part for that car. But you're still running time for checking it. And then you go through the rest of the test plan. Okay, this is what you should do anyway. You go through the rest of the test plan. And the test plan says to do this and to do that and to do this and to do that. And then you have to run a specific amount of time for each one of those particular things. Now, when you run diagnostic time and it says to do this particular procedure, you can typically, not in all cases, but typically you could run half of the time that you would get paid. Say it pays 4/10, you can get away with running just 2/10 and end that particular chunk of time that you're running, okay? If you're doing something that's work time or if it's wire testing, you're going to get paid for exactly what you run, up to an hour. If you try to claim anything more than an hour, somebody somewhere is scratching their head going, really? It took you over an hour to check 3 circuits? Maybe we should cut you loose. Seriously. But if you run just up to an hour, all you got to do is really get close, get 9/10. What the hell? They'll round it off to an hour. They don't give a shit, right? Okay, so by the time you're done running time for doing all the diagnosis on this, and remember, you have to document this. This is what the job story is all about. You document that you checked the circuits. You found that the circuits were not open. They were not shorted. They were not shorted to each other. They were not shorted to ground. They were not shorted to power. They were not shorted. The circuits are good. Now, in some cases, you may actually check the circuits because the circuits might be suspect. I know we have a large rodent problem at the dealership I am. Well, it's not, I want to say large. We don't have enormous rodents. No, we have a large problem that is rodents sometimes damaging the cars. And you always need to do the wire test. You almost always want to do them because you'll go into a circuit and what happens is sometimes you replace the part and you still have an open circuit because you didn't check it. And then you find out later you had an open circuit and then you repair the wires for free, but you still got paid for putting that part in. And then your job story reflects that, well, you did a wire test and everything was good. And so you replaced the part and you got paid for all that when in reality you could have gotten just paid for fixing the fucking wires and left the part off the car because the old part was still good. That happens as well. But you have to go through, and if you have test plans available, you need to go through them. You need to see how much time, you almost need to make a cheat sheet. How much time do I need to run for that? How much time do I need to run for that? How much time do I need to run for that? You should have some sort of source available checking each component pays. And so what you end up with is a cheat sheet that says run 2/10, run 4/10, run 6/10, run an hour, run 2/10, run 8/10. And then that's just for the diagnosis. So you could conceivably diagnose a car in 10 minutes, but run 2.5 hours of time. And in that 2.5 hours of time that you're actually running time, you'll have to stop it and start it to indicate each particular job that you did. In the meantime, you can do all kinds of customer pay work where you don't have to run any time at all and get paid for that on the spot, basically. But when you're running warranty time, you got to kind of, you know, you got to kind of make up for the fact that you're not really doing what you say you're going to do. Or if you do what you say you're doing, that you're doing it faster than the time allotted that you are running time for. If you've got any kind of skills, you can do a wire test in 10 minutes, but you should run an hour because they will pay you an hour. That's what it comes down to. I'm not telling you, you know, rip off the warranty people at the company you work for, but you certainly could if you want to. You just have to be smart about it, okay? Now, when you go in to write a job story, you put in there that you short tested a car, you hooked up a battery charger, you got test plans, you did all of the things that the test plan told you to do. Everything that the test plan told you to do will pay up to 2 hours. You have to document that you did them. You know, you checked for open circuits and shorted circuits. You found nothing. You found that all the wires were in good condition. You found that all the fuses were in good condition. You found that the input was correct and that you ohmed, you know, whatever it was, you ohmed it out and it's fine, it's working correctly. And then you have to go after the module and you say the module must be shorted internally because everything else is good. And that's basically what it comes down to, is you have a module that handles inputs and outputs and they're working fine and the circuits going to it are working fine. So the module is shiza, it's junk, it's shit. You need to get a new one. And you've already made, you know, 2.2 or 2.5 hours of time diagnosing that this module, be it an engine computer in our case, is bad. Great. Then when it comes in, you get to get paid for putting it in. You get to get paid for programming it. You get to get paid for encoding it. You get to get paid for clearing the adaptions out of it and any faults that might be set. And then you can, in some cases, get paid for performing a test drive afterwards to make sure it's all right. In some places, you can't. So you could take a repair that would probably take you, depending on how skilled you are, that would probably take you maybe 2 hours, and you can get paid almost 4. And you want to detail everything that you had to do. If you have to remove a part to add a part to test that part or the wiring harness, you have to put in the job story that you had to remove that part. I have to take the engine out of the car to check the transmission. Well, shit, you're going to have to get paid for taking the tranny out or the engine out, whatever's in your way. You're going to have to get paid to take it out. I recently did an oil pan on a car that was a hybrid, had a specialized transmission, and the oil pan had 3 bolts that went through the back of the transmission into the oil pan for some fucking reason. And so in order to replace the oil pan gasket on this particular vehicle, I had to remove the transmission, which meant I had to remove the exhaust. So I put in the job story that I had to remove the exhaust that pays, you know, probably 7/10 of an hour to remove the exhaust. And then I had to remove the shields that paid another 3/4. Then I had to remove the drive shaft that pays another 5/10. Then I had to take the tranny out that pays like 6.8 hours. You know, you have to document that you did all that. Now, in some cases, and I know that this is what's going on in our place, is that the warranty department doesn't really want to hear about all the extracurricular horseshit that you did. They want to just pay you the one that they'll tell you, oh, you know, it cuts down on the time you spend writing a job story. They go, I don't need that time cut down, because if you cut down the time, then you're probably going to cut down the pay if I'm good at writing a job story. Some of you hate writing a job story. I get it. We all really do hate it. We all wish that we could be salary and not have to worry about writing a job story. But what has to happen here is you have to document what you did. Number one, so that if the car comes back for some reason or another and something isn't done right or something isn't working right, somebody else, maybe even you, will know exactly what the fuck happened and what you did and maybe not have to go through those steps again, because the previous steps have already been done and they could actually move on from those particular steps. Okay, here's a perfect example. I worked on a vehicle just on Saturday. This particular vehicle had been in twice before and had misfires. And for some reason or another, and I don't know exactly why, I think it was just because it was under warranty, the technicians, 2 different technicians, by the way, worked on this vehicle before me and replaced plugs and coils, but only in specific cylinders. So I get it in, and it's got misfires again, and they're on the cylinders that those gentlemen did not they're on the cylinders that those gentlemen did not replace the plugs and the coils on. So I just said to the people who own it, I said, you know, because it was a customer pay situation now, I said, you're going to have to replace the other four coils that you haven't replaced yet and the plugs in those cylinders. And they actually I ended up replacing all eight plugs because it was V8. And I think I replaced coils number 1, 2, 3, and 7. And all the rest had been previously replaced. And at one point in time, there was a brand of coils that we were using that was very odd looking to me, but they were newer. They were new. So I put them all back in. And I'll tell you honestly, having replaced all of the coils finally and all of the plugs finally, this thing ran really, really good after that. And I'm like, why the fuck didn't they just do that at first? But that's the nature of warranty, okay? Because warranty's not going to replace something that's working fine, okay? And that's why you need to write a job story. Because if I hadn't, I probably actually originally, because the misfires only happened one time and they had a full tank of gas, I surmised that they may have been low on fuel and that's what caused the misfire. But instead, the customer was a little smarter than I was even, which isn't hard to believe at all. But they decided they were going to go ahead and get all the other coils and the rest of the spark plugs all swapped out. So, and once we did that, it was a very good move, and that vehicle will now run fine for a long time, or at least until the coils wear out again and the plugs get all shitty again, which will happen. So that's another reason for writing a good job story. But the most important reason is that you want to get paid for everything you do. You absolutely want, because nobody's going to pay you for not doing something. Okay, so if you do something, document it as best you can and hope that there's a labor op for it. And when I'll tell you what I mean by a labor op, I said I would get to it and I will. Hope that there's a labor op for it and that they can find a way to get you paid a tenth, 2/10, 3/10 for taking off some fucking panel or removing some component so that you can get at another component, because you know as well as I do that they're making the cars smaller and they're packing the engine compartments so full of shit that it's like 10 pounds of shit in a 2-pound sack, and you almost need to learn how to build a ship in a bottle to work on some of these fucking things. I'm telling you, I'm becoming very, very skilled at taking a screwdriver and a long radiator hook tool and pulling connectors off from 3 feet fucking away. I'm telling you, it's getting crazier and crazier every day. I mean, I've learned how to manipulate shit with a pick from, 6 inches away. Okay. I can get the job done. I've become almost a fucking jeweler working on some of these cars, okay? And I want to get paid for that shit. So if I have to remove some part, I'm going to put it in a job story. And if my manufacturer or my warranty clerk comes down and says, oh, your job stories are too long, I say, yeah, go fuck yourself. Learn how to read, okay? Because I'm going to write down everything that I did, not only so I can get paid, but so that the dealership can get paid, for Christ's sakes. Because they make somewhere in the neighborhood of $135 an hour on labor for warranty repairs. So if I put down that I did 4.5 hours worth of work, even if I only did 2.5 hours worth of work, I win and they win. They win bigger than I do. So they, in no way, shape, or form should anybody who works for the same company fucking tell me that I have to write shorter job stories. And when the main company tells me I need to write shorter job stories, I just say, yeah, you know what? Fuck that. I'm going to write down everything I did. You can fucking sort it out. And that's where the problem arises, folks. And that's why somebody might complain about a long job story is because, and I promised I would get to it, and here it is. Somebody in your building is called a warranty administrator or a booker or something of that nature, and they deal with sending warranty claims to the manufacturer. Now, when your manufacturer is in Germany or in Japan, sending these warranty claims in is usually something that gets transmitted overnight, and then they either pay overnight or they don't. And if they don't, then you have to, as the warranty administrator or the booker, you have to go back and figure out why they didn't pay it overnight. Now, what the warranty administrator or the warranty booker has to do is they have to digitize your job story. They have to digitize what happened, okay? And what the way they do that is by taking certain repairs and breaking them down into defect codes and labor ops. And I think a lot of you are probably familiar with this, okay? If you're not, you should try to become familiar with this, because labor codes and DIAG codes and labor ops are the way that they digitize what you've done. And if you write down everything that you did, then your warranty administrator should being the keyword in that sentence, should find a labor op for everything that you did. Now, let's say you have half a dozen labor ops because you had to remove this, you had to do that, you had to, and some of them are called work time labor ops, where they're just like, oh, he spent he spent X amount of time looking at a wiring circuit, you know, doing wire tests. Okay, that's a work time labor op. There's not going to be a specific number for doing a wire test on a specific component. You're just going to get a big fat lump of money for doing that 1 hour worth of work, and it's called work time. And in some cases, if a vehicle is really unusual and there's only like maybe a handful of them or maybe even up to like 500 of them, they'll just make every labor op work time where you put in, you know, you had to change the spark plugs and normally that would pay 2 hours, but on this particular vehicle, for some reason, it takes 5 hours. They'll just pay you for 5 hours. That's what work time is. So it behooves you to know if you've got work time on your hands that you can use. You should know that, because on a regular vehicle, you know, change the spark plugs might pay 0.8, but if you've got a vehicle with a specialized engine, specialized chassis, specialized entire vehicle, your changing the spark plugs might be work time. And if you run 2.5 hours worth of work time, even though it only took 5 minutes to change all the spark plugs, they should conceivably pay you 2.5 hours to do those spark plugs. Conceivably, okay? Now, I realize that this podcast is becoming probably the fucking most boring podcast I've ever done, and I apologize for that. I can't really spice this up. It's kind of an important subject. In order for your warranty administrator to digitize all of the things that you did, you need to be somewhat specific about what you did. And they may trim down what you've said or what you've written and into smaller bite-sized words that they can transmit to the home office, wherever it might be, whether it's in Detroit or in Munich or in Stuttgart or in Frankfurt or in Tokyo. And because a lot of these claims get transmitted and they're only allowed a certain number of characters. It's a lot like a tweet. It only allowed a certain number of characters for a job story. And if yours exceeds that in any way, shape, or form, they may not pay it overnight, which is a fucking tragedy for a lot of dealers, because if the claims don't get paid overnight, then I don't have any money, because we all know how they are about money. I'm not going to go there, not this week. So they will come back and they'll say, well, fax us the repair order. And if you have an ERO, they will fax over the job story that you wrote after the repair. And they may decide to go ahead and just pay that claim overnight the next night. Now, I had quite a few repairs at one particular place I worked where they would actually fax the work order over, the repair order, the closed out repair order over to the manufacturer's home office, and they would pay the claim overnight almost every time. And even my warranty administrator at the time said, I don't have to worry about looking at your job stories. They're always up to snuff. And I wrote somewhat lengthy and eloquent job stories, okay? And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm any better than any of you are, but I realize that if I don't write down what I did, I'm not going to get paid for it. You have to write down what you did, and you have to make it sound almost heroic, like an action movie, you know? You almost have to write Die Hard 3. I diagnosed the whole fucking thing, you know? It's like, you know, it's a sequel, you know? I don't think that the full-length movie version of it will star Bruce Willis or anything like that, but you still want to get paid. You still want to get paid. And I've seen the manufacturer lately has said, well, you know, our labor ops cover all of the things that you have to do to repair this car. And so you should only have to use one labor op. And I go, oh, yeah, that's a fun way of saying, hey, we don't want to have to pay. So just put down that you replaced the part and then we'll pay you for replacing the part. You're not going to pay me for anything extra unless I put it in the job story. So don't fall into that fucking trap. If the manufacturer comes down and says, well, you don't need to write all that extracurricular stuff, what they're really saying is, we don't want to pay you for all that extracurricular stuff. That's the message that they're sending you. And they'll tell you, well, you know, it keeps you from wasting time. No. It keeps you from wasting money. Okay? It's not a waste of my time to write a job story. Now, I can type fairly well. Now, I'm not great at it. I never took a typing class. So I will actually look at the keyboard and type and then look up later and see that I'm typing in all capital letters. Which in some cases, if I do a fucking repair on some of these cars and it sucks dick, I may actually write the job story in all caps on fucking purpose. Yeah, I'm yelling at you. Okay? All right, if I have to remove the transmission to change the oil pan gasket, I'm going to write that job story in all capital letters. And there may be a few words in there that my warranty administrator might have to edit out. I took the fucking oil pan out, and I had to take the fucking tranny out to get the fucking oil pan out. It's like I've changed the fucking gasket, which is only leaking a little bit. So thanks a lot, you fucking cocksuckers, for making it that way. Could have left them 3 bolts out, and it would have chopped fucking 8 hours off that job, because that job paid a lot. paid like 18 hours to do an oil pan in a car. It's like, what? But I had to pull the tranny out. Christ almighty. The repair instructions actually said to pull the engine right out of the car. And I'm like, what the fuck would I pull the engine out? I'm just going to change the oil pan. And then I get, oh, yeah. I had the engine dangling on the end of engine cradle and the tranny out. That made it a lot easier to change a pan, I'll tell you. Because you move it one way or the other to get at a bolt, and it just says, oh, hey, we're just dangling here. We don't care. You want to move us over to the left 3 inches? Fine, have it your way. I think I made time on that job. I think I made quite a bit of time on that job, actually. I go at it, you know. I'm like you guys. I'm just a bang, 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 bang. You know, I'm not going to sit there and fuck around taking the motor out and putting it on an engine stand. I'm just going to hang it. I'm just going to hang the fucking thing from the engine cradle and the engine holder and then drop the cradle down, pull the tranny out, and fucking bang the pan gasket on. I mean, the actual repair takes less than 5 minutes. It just takes fucking, well, according to the manufacturer, it takes 18 hours to get at the fucking thing. It's like, yeah, you didn't really need to make it like that, you know. It makes me very irritated. So, and when I got done writing that job story, I can tell you what, I got paid for fucking taking everything off. Every motherfucking nut and fucking bolt. Had to remove this, had to remove that, had to remove this and that, had to remove this, that, and the other thing. And by the time I was done, I'd used up all the 1,200 characters I used up. But I got it in there, you know, I got it in the job story. And it read like the script for Die Hard 6, you know, fixing my Beamer. That's the story that I want to try to get across to you today is, you know, if you're a flat rate and, you know, if you're hourly and your salary, you should probably also write a fairly serious and in-depth job story. Because if somebody is to come along and, you know, let's say your salary, and because, I mean, we've talked about this before. I think the manufacturers of the cars would like for us all to be salary because they would like for us all to inject the quality of our time into the cars to make sure that they're right instead of working at a flat rate pace, which is just way too fast, really, in order to make money. And when you work in flat rate, you're just bang, 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 bang. You're like a jackhammer. You're just hammering stuff out. And there's a lot of things that you overlook. There's a lot of things that you don't do right. There's a lot of things that you just leave undone when you're flat rate. But when you're salary, and typically, you know, the manufacturers spend a great deal of time and money and energy making sure that the quality of their vehicles is great. And then they get out the door and they get to a dealer and the dealer pays their technicians flat rate and they don't give a fuck about the quality, not one iota. They just got to fix the problem and get it out the fucking door. And then they got to figure out how to get paid for it, you know. And when you're flat rate, you figure out how to get paid for it in a fucking hurry. Or else you lose your ass, you know? And that's what I'm trying to convey to you here today is that you need to write, you need to write the killer American novel, you know, the great American novel as far as what your job story was. And then you have to go back, and especially where I work, you have to go back and make sure that they actually paid you for all that shit because somehow or another, ROs get closed out and sometimes they don't put any labor on them. And it's ridiculous. And then you have to go back and go, hey, you know, I'm supposed to get 5 hours for doing this job here. And I got nothing, like a big fat fucking zero. And I'm like, why can't you fucking people pay attention to that shit? It really is irritating. And I'll tell you what, it'd be one of the main reasons I leave if I ever leave. And that's one of the other things that happens is if things don't go your way, you know, if you're writing job stories and you're writing good ones and then somehow or another your warranty clerk, your warranty administrator is lazy, shiftless, they don't want to do their job, and they find that you find that they're not paying you and not cataloging all the labor ops that they should be for the repairs that you do, then you got another problem. You got another problem with a whole other employee, and we've never talked about that in the past. And I would hope that a lot of you have an excellent warranty booker, a warranty administrator, a warranty clerk, but I'm sure that some of you don't. Because that's just the way it goes. I mean, sometimes you get somebody in there who's just doing a job until they, I don't know, you know, until they become a department store Santa Claus or something, you know. No, I'm serious. I mean, they're looking forward to doing something different, and they're just doing this in the interim, you know. And so they don't care if you get paid for everything. They get paid. I think that the best situation is where the warranty clerk gets paid on a percentage of warranty repairs that they code, and therefore they were motivated But I know a lot of dealers don't like to do that kind of thing because they probably feel like they would get abused. It'd be like telling a service advisor that, you know, they can make total commission. They might start selling things that the customer doesn't really need. And they would ask you to install these things the customer really doesn't need, and they might put you in a bad spot with that. So a lot of times that doesn't happen. When it comes to getting paid, you got to have to be vigilant. Because I know, and I work for a large corporation, boys and girls, and I'll tell you what, I go through my pay sheets every week, every 2 weeks, and I find tons and tons of mistakes. So that's another thing that you want to do, is maybe keep a log of how much time you feel like you should get on a particular job, and you may have to spend time, unfortunately, later on, going back in and making sure that they got you paid for everything. Because if you have a problem and you don't check it out, then they're going to keep doing it. And it might not even be on purpose. I think in some cases it might be on purpose, but I think in most cases it's not on purpose. It's just because they're lazy. I know in the shop I work in, they have a terrible time paying us for doing tires. We do one tire, it pays half an hour, and I can't even tell you how many times it comes up on my pay sheet as zero. I got paid nothing. And it makes you mad, and you say something to the service manager, and he just looks at you and goes, I'll look into it, which means I'm not going to do a fucking thing about it. So, you know, you got that going on too. Because the service manager has all kinds of things that he has to do every day, and then you don't ever see any of them getting done. So that's a whole nother it's a whole nother podcast that I'm not going to do today, okay, because it's getting late. And, you know, let me just wrap this whole thing up for you. If you work flat rate, and I know a lot of you do, and even if you're not in this country, it doesn't really matter. If you work flat rate, you're paid for what you do. If you don't write down what you do, if you don't make it sound sensational what you do, then people aren't going to want to pay you for it. Like I was saying earlier, if your salary and you don't write, even if your salary, really, if you don't write a good job story and they come down and they start, you know, scrutinizing your work to see if you're worth the salary they're giving you, and every RO just says, oh, I fixed the car, oh, I fixed the car, I fixed the car, I fixed the car, and you never really put down any kind of details at all, after a while they're going to be like, what the fuck are we paying this guy for? He just writes down that he fixed the car. He doesn't write down why, how, where, when, what was wrong, anything like that. So you want to be kind of detailed to kind of prove your worth, whether you're flat rate or even salary or hourly. Really, you just want to kind of let people know, say, hey, you know what? This is what was going on with that car. I did this, I did this, I did this. That was a diagnosis. Then I got the part in, I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and now it's fixed. And then they feel satisfied somewhat, I would think, at least a reasonable person would be somewhat satisfied at paying you for doing that. But if you shortchange it and you write down, car was broken and I fixed it, and you want 4 to 5 hours for that particular repair, whether it's flat rate or whether you were salary, because, I mean, they might keep track of how many hours you spend on a car, even though they're just going to pay you anyway, then you need to catalog what you've done and be able to illustrate to them that you're worth what they're paying you. Because even though they're not paying you enough in our eyes, in their eyes, they're paying you too much. And that's part of the problem that we have. That's a, believe me, folks, that's a subject for absolutely a whole another podcast, okay? Being worth what you think you're worth, but not being worth what they think you're worth or what they think they're paying you. You'll hear it. You'll hear it because it's practically shooting out of me right now as I speak to you. I'm running through all the points in time in my life where people questioned whether I was worth what I'm being paid. And the resounding answer in my own mind is, fuck yeah, I fix shit that sometimes I fix shit that other people can't fix. And that, too, also is a whole other podcast. I want you to get yourselves warmed up, get your keyboard warmed up, and I want you to send me some of the stories. Because I did a podcast not too long ago where I mentioned that, some people have pride in what they do, and some people actually fix cars that other shops couldn't fix. And that opened up a Pandora's box. And I realize that there's a lot of guys out there doing the job who get to repair stuff that other people tried to repair and couldn't. And I want to hear some of those stories out of you guys, okay? I have a couple, 2, 3 of those stories myself. They're not that spectacular. A couple of them I've already regaled you with. But I want to regale the listeners everywhere in the world with some of the tales of the stuff that you've done. Now, I'm going to leave you as anonymous, okay? But I'm going to go into detail about some of the things that you did to fix a car that somebody else couldn't, and maybe, you know, another shop or another individual was just a piece of shit and a stupid bastard. I'm sorry, I'm laughing because some of this stuff is going to be funny, even when you're not trying to be funny. Sometimes you go in and you just see what's wrong automatically, really, because you have experience with a particular brand or a particular type of car or a particular system, and somebody else who hasn't got a fucking clue just can't fathom what's wrong with it. And you look at it and get it immediately. It's ridiculous. So I want to hear these stories. Listen, we have a pretty extensive comment section going on the Facebook page. So go ahead and fill that up. Give me all of the details. And if you've got something that's funny, that's cool. If you got something that was serious, maybe somebody did something to brakes and they didn't work. I'm betting that quite a few of you have flopped brake pads around so that they're incorrectly after being in backwards. Oh shit! Anyway, I definitely want to hear those stories, because I would like to regale the rest of the listeners with some of your tales of success in the face of failure from another shop. All right. Anyway, that's how you write a job story, boys and girls. You have to write the script for an action movie. You have to write down all the detail, all the bloody details. You know, the hero comes in and he diagnoses the car by doing this, and this. And the hero makes millions of dollars and he runs off with the heroine, where the antagonist, sometimes it's the same person in some cases, and they live happily ever after in Uncle Jimmyville. All right. Uncle Jimmy's going to check out now and go to bed, probably, because it's getting late and I'm tired and I don't have a bed in the Rock and Roll Garage, so I got to drive home to go to bed. All right. So listen, until then, hit me up with some comments on the Facebook page. We love them. We fucking love them. You guys are awesome. Okay. Thanks for keeping the planet moving. And I'm going to go to bed now so I can wake up in the morning and help keep the planet moving tomorrow. And until then, see you.